We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Matthew Scott, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, and I'm delighted to say that according to a recent survey, this program is very popular with doctors. They prescribe it instead of Mogadon. So to bring you another dose this week are Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton on my right. And Graham Garden and Barry Cryer on my left. And we go straight into a nice, easy round. This one's called Telegrams, and this is where I ask the various members of the teams to give me some telegrams which they wish to send to various well-known people. We'll start with Graham Garden.
Ah, right, in at the deep end. I sent a telegram to the team of Game for a Laugh, saying, break a leg.
Tim.
I'd like to send a telegram to Alfred the Great. Actually, it says, urgent, stop. Oven temperature should read centigrade, not Fahrenheit.
Having elicited a round of applause, you get a mark, Tim, and we go to Barry.
Mine is to King Tutankhamun. Please contact the British Museum. Your mummy is seriously ill.
Again.
Oh. Right. Willie Rushton.
I've sent one to La Dame aux Camélias saying, cough, cough, hawk, spit, cough, cough, I love you too, cough, cough, Rushton. So I don't know her very well, otherwise. I have intercepted one from Richard Burton to Elizabeth Taylor saying, suppose short meaningless marriage out of question, dick.
There's one Britt Eklund sends to various friends, Humph, that... when she's getting a bit restive, it reads, not getting any better, come home at once. And the post office keeps sending one that says, not getting any better, come home at once.
Also one from Lady Godiva's husband. You know, it's interesting fact, this, that she actually went through the streets naked just to be against him because of his tax-raising money. Just an interesting fact. So his telegram goes, all right, keep your hair on.
The problem is you can't actually send telegrams anymore. They've sort of done away with them, haven't they? And you do some strange telephone business now. In fact, I sent a telegram to the head of the post office about it, saying, new telegram service, very poor. Letter precedes.
I'd like to send one to Napoleon, saying, ignore boots outside tent, they're only Wellingtons.
OK, well, you're ahead, Barry, by several points. And this is the point where I give the teams advance notice of the late arrivals whom they'll be announcing at the end of the programme. And I'm going to ask them this week to announce the late arrivals at the Students' Ball. The Students' Ball. OK, now we have the round called Good News, Bad News. And someone whom I'm about to nominate in this game will start with some good news, and then the next person will give us the corresponding bad news, and then the next person will give us the good news, and then the person after that will give us the bad news, and so on and so on and so on until I press the buzzer. And we're going to start with you, Barry Cryer.
Good news. The Pope is visiting us this summer.
Bad news. Oh, dear, Granny's in the spare room.
Good news. That's all right. Granny doesn't mind sharing.
Bad news. What about the snoring and all the bad language?
That's all right. Granny's deaf.
Bad news. There's only a single bed.
Good news. The Pope has taken a vow of celibacy.
Bad news. Granny hasn't.
Willie Rushton, you got the most points there in terms of audience response. And we're going to start now, the next one, with you, Graham.
Good news. The pandas at London Zoo have mated.
Bad news. One with an elephant. And one with Sir Solly Zuckerman. No offence, Solly.
Solly.
Okay, well, with Tim and Willie in the lead now, we go on to a game called Name This Tune, which is the grammatical version of Name That Tune. And this is the round in which I ask our teams to identify some tunes from extracts which will be played by Matthew Scott at the piano. And Tim Brooke-Taylor, we're going to start now. Matthew will either play the beginning notes or the end notes of a tune.
Great.
This is just the time signal. The roses in your garden, are they blooming as they always do?
Nurse, he's out of bed again.
Obviously not that one.
Is that your final answer?
No. it's the end of A Long Way to Tipperary. It's the Zedcast theme.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Anybody in the audience got it?
I've forgotten what it was.
Don't give
it.
No, nobody's got it.
Penicillin can get rid of it.
Tim, you're going to love this. Matthew's going to play the answer.
He was right first time.
No, he didn't enter that one as a serious entry. He went on to something else.
I hadn't even reached the...
Barry Cryer, this is the end of a piece. How about this?
A story of my life.
Oh, never, dee-dee-dee, forever. Oh, amen.
10 seconds left.
No, well, I'll forfeit them.
Is that
a clue? And use them in another round.
Okay, Matthew Scott, will you give the answer?
Well played. So
no marks there for Barry Cryer. Oh, we go over to Willie Rushton. How about these three notes?
Where are they?
Hesitation.
On the.
Three blind mice.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, Rosemary, I love you. I'm always dreaming of you. Three blind mice. Yes.
So you think it's either the beginning or the end of Three Blind Mice?
Yes, all
right. Right, well, let's see. Matthew Scott, will you play?
Rosemary!
Rosemary!
I think you'd play a little bit more of that.
Oh, Rosemary. A man just stood up on the M40 and...
No, you were wrong, Willie, there. That was the end, of course, of the National Anthem. And, Graham Garden, we go over to you to redeem not only your side, but the other side as well, with your answer to this extract.
Norman Tebbit. No. It's a song, isn't it? It's the end of a song. It's the end of one of those musical songs.
Yeah, Arms Attack.
I did it my way. I did it my way.
Oh. Hardly seems necessary, but let's hear the answer from Matthew Scott. Yes, it was, of course, the beginning of the James Bond theme, so yeah. I'm afraid nobody gets any marks for that. We have a round now called Complete Speeches. For this round, we're going to play some extracts from famous speeches and ask the teams to complete them. One mark for a correct answer and many more marks for an incorrect one. We're going to start now with a speech by ex-president Gerald Ford.
I don't believe that the Romanians consider themselves dominated by the Soviet Union. I don't believe that the Poles consider themselves dominated by the Soviet Union.
I don't believe what I'm saying.
That actually is a correct answer, so you only get the 1 point there. And Second one, who's going to do the second one? It's going to be you, Graham, is it?
Right. Here's a speech by ex-president-elect President Reagan.
Together, we're going to do what has to be done.
So, Nancy, pass me the Grecian 2000.
Okay, that puts you in the lead. And now, Tim Brooke Taylor, here's a speech by Mrs. Thatcher.
I think it depends upon who the person is. I don't think that there will be a woman prime minister in my lifetime.
But then I'm wrong about almost everything.
And it depends what you mean by a woman.
Bonus mark to Willie Rushton.
Thank you. And,
it's your turn, Barry Cryer, and to inject a little life into the programme, will you complete a speech now by Chancellor of the Exchequer, Sir Geoffrey Howe?
But I hesitate always to be precise about figures.
I estimate she's a 38C cup.
We've got another one for you now, Willie Rushton, and this again is another speech by Mrs. Thatcher.
And I want to tell you that my colleagues and I will not be deflected. There can be no U-turns along this road.
You'll just have to wait till the Watford Gap, Dennis.
Okay, now we had to have one by Winston Churchill, and here it is now for you, Graham Garden.
I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
But I think there's a light ale in the fridge.
And finally, Tim Brooke Taylor, will you complete the speech by General Haig?
Well, there are contingency plans in the NATO doctrine to fire a nuclear weapon for demonstrative purposes.
At Birmingham.
Or we could form the wagons into a circle.
Or we could shoot them straight upwards and come straight down on
them. I don't have another one for you, Barry Cryer, which means that Tim and Willie win that round. They're all one short. This is the round called Just a Minim now. This is a musical round in which the team members attempt to sing a song for a minute without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. We're going to start with you, Willie Rushton, and our song is Old MacDonald Had a Farm. Challenge from Graham.
Hesitation.
No, I'm vamping till ready.
Yes, I'll allow that. Willie's vamping till ready.
Right. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-A-E-U.
Challenge from Graham.
Repetition of E. I second it.
Oh, okay, yeah. you have another minute to finish the song, Graham Garden.
And on this establishment he has...
Challenge from Tim.
Hesitation. I and...
You can't hesitate within a word. Dragging the note out, that's all.
It was interpretation. Carry on, Graham.
Hey. Please, come on.
Challenge from Tim.
Hesitation. Or was it interpretation?
No, that was hesitation. Will you continue the song?
And on this farm he had some chicks, L-Z-Q-P-R, with a chick and a cow and a... Here.
Challenge from Graham Garden.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, that's right, Graham.
I said deviation.
You have 1 minute, 10 seconds in which to complete the song.
And a hen's noise there, here a row, there a din, everywhere a chick, chick.
Challenge from Willie.
Lemming. Repetition of everywhere. Yes.
That's right. Will you continue the song now? You only have six seconds.
Young McSomething had another agricultural establishment. S-P-Q-R-T. And on this place in the country, he had some ducks. T-T-F-N. With a... here. And a whoops, bang, there. Here a zoom, there a blat. Everywhere a smack, boom.
Challenge from Barry Cryer.
Repetition of A.
We've got to feed the creatures.
I'll allow that, although, strictly speaking, A is part of the title, which you're allowed to repeat. But Barry Cryan.
Oh, good luck with the turkeys.
OK, Barry. 25 seconds starting now.
Old Farquhar Harson, soul holding, NBG Olay. And on this plot, he had some turkeys. NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization. With a ornithological noise here. And anticipatory Christmas emissions there.
Challenge from Willie Wright.
Failure to say gobble.
Oh, I could have said it once, couldn't I? Yes.
Right, in you.
But I'm prepared to allow him to continue.
Willie Rushton, you have 1.5 seconds to complete the song.
Here are some Turkish.
Barry Cryer wins that round, and we go on now to a round called Feed Your Friend. In this next round, the team members are going to feed each other using small bowls of food and plastic spoons. And to add to the excitement and tension, they're all going to be blindfolded. There is a time limit of 1 minute, and the winning team will be the one that eats more of the food and less of the spoons. Right, will you adjust your blindfolds, please, teams?
I can't find it.
Oh. I should have picked the food up before I put the blindfold on.
I've got a stamped address blindfold.
Right, all the teams are blindfolded now, and you have 1 minute, teams.
Can we settle on the bowl?
Can we find the bowl first?
Could I have a last cigarette?
I've just eaten mine.
Okay, teams. Start feeding each other now.
Say something.
Oh, hello, I'm over here.
So far, Barry Cryer's ahead, I think. Willie Rushton has one mouthful. Tim Brooke Taylor hasn't yet had a mouthful at all. The 1 minute is up.
Oh, God.
Will you remove your blindfolds, teams? Now, if you'll all bring the bowls up to me.
Tim had the ashtray.
And I'll decide who's won.
I've just eaten 7 cigarette ends.
Barry Cryer. Oh, that's a better, much better one.
Cork tipped and full of calories.
I want to warn the others, that was bran. A short show this week, folks. But we hope it'll run.
I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen at home, that Tim Brooke Taylor's bowl is empty. And all the others have a considerable amount of food in them. Thereby implying that Tim Brooke Taylor cheated. Which means that Barry Cryer, Graham Garden and Willie Rushton share the marks in that round. And we go on now to my favourite round, tag wrestling. We haven't played it yet in this series. In this round, I'm going to give each team the payoff of a story, the punchline of a story. And I shall then start one of you off telling a story to work towards your punchline. Then, when I feel like it, I shall press my buzzer, and a member from the opposing team will have to take up that story, but working towards his quite different punchline. It's very entertaining. And Barry and Graham, I'm going to give you your punchline, so we'll take it down now. The king took one look at the mule and fell off his pogo stick.
Well, you need it.
Tim and Willie, yours is the nun gave the plumber the kiss of life and he went on to win.
Is that the end?
Oh, and and he went on to win.
And he went on to win.
That's a quote from a Barbara Cotton novel.
Barry and Graham, you've had longer to think about it. So, Graham, you start.
It was a warm and sunny day in the palace gardens, and the king
was rounding a corner on his pogo stick, just by the bottom left-hand corner of the flower bed, when he saw his ostler ostling away. Oh.
Gave him such a fright, he fell off his pogo stick and broke his neck. And where better to be treated than by some nuns in the cottage hospital treating the king who had fallen off the pogo stick. Now, it just happened at that moment they'd had burst water pipes. In fact, a lorry had shed its... shed its load of water, and the plumber was in to fix it.
Away from me, sisters, he cried. I cannot tarry here. Broken though my regal neck may be, it is the day of the royal mule races. I must get back to the palace forthwith. So he leapt upon his pogo stick.
What those mules need is a plumber, he said. Quite naturally, it caused the Mother Superior to faint. Oh, I got it the wrong way around.
That's not what the Mother Superior thought.
Oh, we
no, yes, the Mother Superior lay there, unconscious for many weeks, while the plumber finished lagging the mules and had them sent away to the palace, where the king, much recovered, was once again rounding the corner by the bottom left-hand flower bed on his pogo stick.
You'd have thought he would have known better. There was the ostler. Pay over tea, back into the hospital. Well, the Mother Superior, lying on her back, was able to call one of the nuns and said, bring in the plumber immediately. The king has wrecked his neck, and as you know, he's got a pipe up the... You probably don't know, this is a thing that actually hasn't been mentioned in the story so far. There's a pipe, it's rather sad, this. He had an injury when he was a child, and he had a pipe up through his neck so that he could breathe, and so she called for the plumber to come over. I didn't believe I'd get this far. Oh, I didn't.
It hasn't been mentioned because it's not relevant to this story. And he said, good heavens, I can't stay here with a Mother Superior lying on her back. People will talk. So he made an excuse and left, leapt upon his pogo stick and came face to face with a mule.
Who was, in fact, the favourite in the race and called, fortunately, the nun.
Still in trouble with...
Running at evens. No, not at all.
Couldn't it be a
the plumber leapt onto its back. The plumber was going to ride the nun in the race. Unfortunately, it fell off, but the nun swiftly gave the plumber the kiss of life. Oh.
So the plumber fell off the nun. But thought the only way I'm going to win this race is to get one of my lagged mules and to use that as a stand-in for the nun, which he did. And very pretty it looked in its surplice and snood. The king, silly fool, rounding the corner yet again of the left-hand flower bed, saw the mule. Ah!
Silly fool indeed. But what should he see? It would be the ostler. And back in the hospital, he was watching the television. 3 o'clock from Chepstow, where a plumber was riding the nun, and it fell off. And the nun gave the plumber the kiss of life and went on to win.
And this is the point where we all sit back and listen to the teams announce the late arrivals at the students' ball.
Would you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Technic and their daughter Polly Technic.
And Mr. and Mrs. Mater and their daughter Alma.
Mr. and Mrs. Durgrad and their son Ern Durgrad.
Will you please, on a more serious note, please...
Oh, good.
Welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Versity Cuts and their scandalous daughter, the scandalous University Cuts.
How true.
Yes. Mr. and Mrs. Smark and their father, Pa Smark.
Will you welcome, please, the Ology family?
Oh, yes.
I start playing the music now, I think.
Their sons, Phil and Archie. Their daughter, Sue, and her effervescent sister, Fizzy.
And their friend, Anthropology.
And their boyfriend, Theo. Ology, from the other family.
And the one we're worried about, Bye.
Over there, pulling himself together by the curtain, Sammy Narr.
There's the large-chested algae bra.
And here come Mr. and Mrs. Mattox
and their clever daughter advanced mathematics and her horse trigonometry.
Mr. and Mrs. Reticle Physics have walked into the room. Welcome. Welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Reticle Physics and their daughter Thea. Mr. and Mrs. Recultural College and their daughter Aggie Recultural College.
There are a lot of students here, you know, they all came in a silly bus.
On that note,
Mr. and Mrs. Mentory College and their daughter Elementary College.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of this week's programme. Until next week, thank you for listening and join us then. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Matthew Scott setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.